like the red. No, it's not.
Alrighty. Want to talk a little bit about how God moves in our life, his timing, and how that's even connected to his divine and sovereign timing of when he brought the Messiah, which is the reason for the season here. Time is almost like God's punctuation mark. You know, at the end of every sentence, you have a punctuation mark, a period, comma, exclamation. So time is kind of God's way of speaking to us. It expresses his will. When we think about when baby Jesus came and the whole Christmas story and how all that worked out, that specific timing was something of his will. In other words, there were prophecies from hundreds and thousands of years before, and God made it happen right in the fullness of time, at that perfect moment that had been planned ahead of time. And when the moment happens, those moments even in our life, those divine moments, those life situations, when that moment happens, it's almost like God's speaking. You know, the moment speaks. It says it's happening now, and it's a conclusion of the past and the beginning of the future. That moment is when what we've been praying for, or God's been saying is coming, it happens. Sometimes we find it hard to believe when that moment happens. You know, we've been planning for it for so long, and then all of a sudden the moment happens. And we almost walk around in disbelief. And then it goes on from there. And this is God's way of concluding a sentence and beginning a new one in our life. There are milestones. In the Jewish life, throughout the Old Testament, we see many milestones of things that happen. On the screen here are just some of them that we're very familiar with. When Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers and sold into slavery. You know, there's this whole long story, but at the end, Joseph tells his brothers, "You meant to do me evil. You were following Satan. You meant to do me evil, but God meant for something good. He used this for good." There was that powerful moment when there's that realization, when it was the conclusion of Joseph's past, but also the beginning of Israel's future. New things began to happen. In our life, we have all of these moments. And I think it would behoove us to think about the moment, think about what led up to it, how God was working, and then ask, where's he taking me? Where's he sending me? How is this moment projecting into the future?
Next one.
We're going to go through the whole timeline or something.
All right. If you want to turn your scriptures to Galatians, it's in the New Testament, maybe midway through. Follow along, Galatians 4.
I was just reading that this week.
Were you?
It's the best, isn't it?
Yeah.
Galatians 4.
Verses 4 and 5. So Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he's teaching them about the transition from being under the law to being under grace, to being set free from the law. And he's directing it all back to Christ. And I think that we might even have the question, well, God, what's up with your timing? Why did you send Jesus when you did? Why didn't you send him 4,000 years earlier, right after Adam and Eve sinned? You know, wouldn't that have saved a lot of heartache, a lot of bloodshed? And the answer that the Bible reveals to us throughout much text is that if the Messiah had come directly after the fall, directly after Adam and Eve sinned, then the enormity, the deadly fruits of sin would not have been fully realized by man. We would not have fully appreciated. We would not have seen the fruits and the product of sin. You know, in our society, people will say that basically everybody's good. And especially with children. But we needed to know that we needed a Savior. And since our greatest need as people is forgiveness, God sent a Savior.
When you say time, you're referring to linear time?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't want to complicate it.
Yes. Didn't want you to get out there in orbit and get lost.
Way too late for that, but sure.
So, are you there with Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5? But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. In other words, Jesus was born to Jewish parents. They were under the Mosaic law. This is crazy. Jesus, who's the creator of all things, who's that unblemished lamb, was born under the law. Had to grow up in that. Verse 5, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we are all adopted into God's family through Christ. And it's through faith. So in the fullness of time, what does that mean? What does that convey to us? In other words, the fullness of time is just that perfect moment, right? Not too early, not too late. But the fullness of time tells us that things had to happen first before it was the fullness of time. Next one.
Well, you sure have made a grand entrance into this world now, haven't you? Not an entrance a king would make. A manger of all places. No palace, no guards. Just a barn and a lot of hay, if you ask me. What am I to make of all of these guests? That silent night sure got loud fast. I suppose you'd like to know how all this came to be, wouldn't you? Well, on an ordinary day, more ordinary than you can imagine, an angel came to me. I know. I had trouble believing it myself. He spoke of things I couldn't really comprehend. He spoke of you, the Son of the Most High. He looked straight at me, as if to ask, "Will you say yes?" It was the scariest yes I'd ever uttered. This was an impossible yes that only God can make possible. Never in my wildest dreams. Speaking of dreams, is it okay that I have dreams for you too? mamas have dreams for their babies, you know. Even babies in those by heavenly hosts. Make that one. I have a strange feeling this will not be the only yes required of me. I can't begin to imagine the yeses that will be required of me. God help me. One faithful day at a time. To keep saying yes.
The fullness of time had arrived. We can look at it almost as a collision point of all the prophecies that have occurred beforehand. And now, boom, that night, it all happened. And for some, it was hard to believe. Turn with me to Luke as we visit that night. Luke 1.
Chapter 1,
and we'll be at verse 5. So there's some stepping stones. There's some things that led up to this wonderful night. Birth of John the Baptist was foretold. Luke 1, verse 5. Let's go down to verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So this is John the Baptist, his birth foretold. He's to be a forerunner. We're reading prophecy from the Old Testament here. Then Jesus' birth was foretold. Go down to verse 26 of chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement. She kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." We go on a little bit in time, and John the Baptist is born. Come down to verse 57 of chapter 1. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called John." And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted to call him. And he asked for a tablet, and he wrote as follows. His name is John. And they were all astonished. And at once, his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he began to speak the praise of God. Remember, he was in the temple, and because he didn't believe the angel telling him that his wife was going to bear a son, he was mute until the boy was born. And at this moment, when he obeyed God, when he spoke God's will, his mouth was loose, his tongue was loose, and he could speak again. Powerful. Then we see where Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Luke 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. All prophecy foretold by different people many, many years before, coming true in this short time span. The fullness of time had arrived. In the fullness of time, I wanted us to kind of try to think, try to capture the power of that phrase in our lives. You remember in Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon wrote, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." In fact, David wrote a song about it. We know how old you are if you know that song.
Let's not shit.
So, well, I have to sing it. So let's discuss for a second. How do you see the fullness of time working in your life, your spiritual life? You know, the scripture says that Mary treasured all these things and she pondered them. Did you ever ponder how time is working in your life?
You know, I don't see it. I feel it, though. I feel it. I feel like my life as it's happening, it's been written long ago. I feel like it's just being revealed to me what's long ago been written.
Anyone else? How do you see the fullness of time happening in your life? Good or bad?
Well, my sister and I always said we were going to write a book. Believe it or not, my life is based on a true story. I mean, I've gone through so many different things, and my life is just so peaceful and good. And God's good to me all the time. Even when I was wandering around in the wilderness, he was good to me.
I think my life started when this one right here told me that she was leaving, and so I got her a house and left me actually right here in this parking lot. She was tired of staying in a tent in the treehouse room. And Pastor Mark has watched us grow since then, actually. So I think all that was foretold as well for me. I mean, as the way it happened, how it played out, you getting a chance on me, I don't know, just it kind of all seemed like it was supposed to happen.
Well, fullness of time. It couldn't have happened before. It had to happen now. Fullness of time. Getting married, getting baptized. Fullness of time.
For those that know that song, I have a saying. I'd like to say it's, life is like a toilet paper roll. The closer to the end, the faster it goes. So it feels like sometimes to me.
You're not going to hear that in any other churches.
And the more you're trying to preserve it,
tears apart.
Anybody else have?
I feel like as I get older, like I give time less credit. Like when I used to be a young teenager, like my life up until that point seemed prolific and like just massive. And as I get older, it's like, oh, this is life. You know, you just get more honed into the now than what happened or what your dreams are. It's like, you know, that's the balance as a young adult for me, at least, is looking towards tomorrow, but appreciating today instead of, you know, always thinking about the past or always thinking only about the future. And it's right here in my arms.
Welcome, Ella.
Well, in my past and the things I have done and gone through, sometimes today I feel like I'm on borrowed time, so, you know, I'm making the best of it now. So.
Yeah. So my dad, I used to always say, oh, slow down, take it easy. You got all your whole life ahead of you to do that. You know, I'm going, Dad, you had it wrong. Life is too short. You know,
right.
I can't get enough done in a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things that I hope I can instill in you this morning. One about the fullness of time is if we will kind of absorb that phrase in the fullness of time. And when things are happening, when we want things to happen, or maybe they haven't happened yet, you know, you may be praying that God will provide you with something. You may be praying that, you know, God, give me a house or a place to live. And you may be wondering, how come I don't have it now? I mean, God, I asked you 2 weeks ago, you know, why don't I have it now? Or you may have these situations where, like your testimony with the fire marshal lady, you know, you don't quite understand why it's happening to you. But if you begin to absorb this fullness of time expression in your heart, in your life, you begin to see that God is doing something. And things have to happen first in order before that moment happens. That moment which is the end of the past and the beginning of the future. That moment, that divine moment has to happen. And without these things beforehand, which maybe you don't like, maybe they hurt, maybe they're a struggle. If you don't have those things, that moment is not going to happen. It's just like when Jesus was born. If all of that, those 4,000 years of history, of disobedience, of walking away from God, even after they saw physical miracles, you know, all the time, having the law, having favor, seeing God work on their behalf. If all those things had not happened, you know, we question the Old Testament. We say, God, wasn't there a better way to get our attention? But if they had not happened, that divine moment where Jesus came and represented what he does in our life. So, when you're struggling, you know, you got the neighbors on you. You know, you're looking for something. And you know it's out there. And you're thinking, oh God, I have a deadline. Is it going to happen? That moment, it's a moment of time. And that moment can't happen until the past finishes. That's where fullness of time comes in. But there's something else, the second thing I really hope to instill into you this morning. We're celebrating the first advent of Christ, the first time he came to earth in the flesh. But the Bible tells us there's another moment in time ahead of us. where he's going to return again.
Yes.
In the flesh. And that's what we call the second advent. And the Bible tells us that we should be looking forward to that. That we should be living each and every day for that moment. And all of these things that are happening now have to happen before that moment's going to occur. You know, we want to second guess God and say, hey, you know, hasn't things gotten bad enough yet? I mean, any time would be good. But only God knows that time. And what are we to do until then? We are to live each and every day like it could be that last day before that moment happens. And I think sometimes we take life for granted, we take time for granted, and we don't. So be looking for that time when Jesus is going to return. Be living. Use that as kind of a guideline of how we might carry out our life and what becomes important, what isn't important. All right, so I want to finish up with one last scripture here. If you'll turn to Titus, it's about three-fourths of the way through the New Testament. It's if you get to Hebrews, go to your left. It's after 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus 2. And we'll begin with verse 11. So, looking from God's perspective, from Jesus' perspective, in the beginning, when they were creating things, we read the creation week. We understand Adam and Eve being created. And we understand in Genesis 3:15 when God cursed the ground, when he pulled Adam and Eve out of the garden and was looking down the tunnels of time. At that point, he was looking down the tunnel of time at the fullness of time. That perfect moment when the Savior was to be born, when Jesus was to come. Are you there in Titus 2? Yes. We'll begin with verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Present and age. Present is the moment, the time that we're living in. Age is before us and after us. He's instructing us for that time. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify himself for himself, a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. We are his possession. We belong to him. We are not our own person. We don't stand alone. We belong to him. And he's preparing us. So this time that we're in right now, this present age that we're in right now, where we're looking forward to his reappearing, is the moment that we're in. And we should be doing what Scripture says is looking for that blessed hope, that second advent when he will return. And that could begin today. That divine moment could be today. Maybe today is the day where you commit yourself to Christ Jesus. Maybe today is the day where you recommit. Maybe today is that moment where you say, enough of some of the stuff in my past, and I'm going to welcome the future in. Maybe today is that divine moment. So, like Mary in that little video, you know, Are you ready to say yes, Lord, for whatever he's asking? I loved how she said that. That was the hardest yes I ever had to say. But I got a feeling there's more going to be required. Amen? The same for us. So, during the season, recognize that true peace and joy are here for us now. We sing, joy to the world, the Savior has come, and he will come again. Amen. Amen. Any thoughts before we pray? All right, well, let's gather around in a circle and pray for one another.